Good afternoon, and welcome to today's live Facebook chat with Chair Nancy Sutley of the White House Council on Environmental Quality and Administrator Lisa Jackson of the Environmental Protection Agency. To ask questions via Facebook, please go to www.whitehouse.gov/live and click on the Facebook link. Chair Sutley?
Thank you, and we're very excited to have you join us today for this important conversation about protecting, conserving, and enjoying our nation's natural resources and outdoor places. Last month, the President released a report called America's Great Outdoors, A Promise to Future Generations. And this report outlines our 21st century conservation and recreation agenda that was developed hand in hand with Americans across the country who shared their best ideas with us last year. You know, our parks, our waterways, our working lands, our forests, and open spaces are a key part of our national character. And these are places that enrich our lives, they keep us healthy and active, they lift our spirits, and they connect us to nature. But all of these places are under stress. There are 21st century challenges of pollution and development and climate change are affecting all of these areas and taking a toll on those lands. You know, 80% of Americans live in cities today, and kids are spending less and less time outside. So that's why we're working together to protect these places, to promote conservation, and connect Americans to the outdoors. You know, nobody knows that the places that are most important to Americans more than the communities that live in them, work in them, and play in them. And so rather than dictating policies from Washington, the America's Great Outdoors Initiative turns to communities for local conservation ideas and priorities. And you're all here because you care about what's critical to America, our parks, our open spaces, our working lands, and our waters. So we couldn't have a meaningful discussion without you about the America's Great Outdoors, and we look forward to your questions.
Administrator Jackson.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much. Great to be here with my friend and colleague, Chair Sutley, to talk at the first ever live chat on America's Great Outdoors. You know, one of the things that excites me the most about the America's Great Outdoors Initiative is that we really get to think a bit hard about what it means to be outdoors. What are the great outdoors? You know, when we talk about the environment, when we talk about the outdoors, sometimes we think about some of the most beautiful places in our country, these wide open spaces, stunning vistas, beautiful mountains, wonderful plains, all that's so important to what is our heritage and our natural heritage. But what should also come to mind is a neighborhood playground, a city block, high rises in the middle of the city, a park, a pocket park. You know, what we saw over and over again is that one of the best ways to understand how important outdoor spaces are is to go somewhere where there aren't them. People crave an opportunity to go outside, not just to play, but to make the bonds that make a community. They want places that are open and that lift up their spirits, that give their children places to get recreation. So the America's Great Outdoors Initiative is about preserving forests and beautiful vistas, but it's also about creating those little oases in urban and suburban neighborhoods throughout our country to preserving and growing what is our idea of the great outdoors. We know already that having a place to play for children means breaking that link to obesity and challenges that come for their health. But it's also about economic challenges, because we know that neighborhoods that have parks and green space and waterways are more economically viable. They're places where people want to invest their own money to buy a home, or where businesses want to locate because it's a fun place to be. Residents need a place to meet. They need a place to exercise our democracy. The natural environment gives us that as well. So we're here to support communities. This isn't just about the outdoors, it's about people, and it's part of our mission. At EPA, we talk all the time about public health in our communities, and I'm just really proud to be able to draw the link to the importance of the great outdoors in public health, in the quality and prosperity of our communities. We need your help, we need to hear from you. That work is far from over, so I'm looking forward to our Q&A today.
Great. Before we turn to some of our questions on YouTube, let's go and take a Facebook question. This one is from Elizabeth Rose, and she's asking, how does the administration plan to encourage students, especially those who might be graduating soon and don't see a lot of opportunities in the U.S. job market, to actively participate in reconnecting with the outdoors? What programs can connect government officials with students to discuss leadership opportunities in the outdoors?
Well, I'll start. One of the things that we talked about in the report was this idea of creating a 21st century conservation service corps, building on the great work that AmeriCorps does, the Youth Conservation Corps do, and a number of other opportunities within the federal government. But we really need to bring all of those together. There are great community groups out there, great state and local government programs to provide opportunities for young people to learn about careers in the outdoors, careers in environmental protection and public health protection. And so we're trying to bring all of that together in one place. But there's plenty of opportunity from federal agencies. There's also a lot of opportunities at the community level for people who care about these issues and care about their communities to get involved, to do an internship, to volunteer at a park, to just get some experience out there working on these, working in the outdoors.
Great. Let's take a question from email. This one comes from Donna Dunnings, and she asks, the great outdoors should be enjoyed by all. What are your plans for programs that target special needs youth and adults?
Very nice. Well, the report and the recommendations talk about exactly that, about bringing people together and opening up opportunities. And so what Nancy, and I'm sure you'll want to talk about what happens next. The report is wonderful, but the idea here is to put together initiatives that are going to reach out to and ensure that we have access, special needs access for people who are physically disabled, interpretive access for people who might have a disability. Those are investments as well, and jobs in our open spaces. And I'm really excited about the idea of using it as an environmental education tool. Getting out and loving our great outdoors is one of the first steps to prizing them and realizing that we have to be vigilant in keeping our air and water clean.
Well, and as we traveled around the country, we heard a lot about concerns about how people can access the outdoors, whether it's the questions of actually physically getting there, questions about safety. And so one of the things that we wanted to do was to, in the next steps, is to bring all the federal agencies together and work in partnership to create partnerships out in the communities that will help to represent some of those issues and find the best way we can access resources to ensure that we're addressing all of those needs. And also thinking about how we as a federal government and in our public lands and in our national parks and national forests, in the other lands that we manage, are making sure that we're improving access and also working to improve access for those who own private land who want to offer access to the outdoors on their lands.
Great. We'll go back to Facebook and take another question from there. This one's from Scott Sergerstrom, and he's asking, do you see the 21st Century Service Corps as harnessing existing youth corps across the country or a new hiring initiative?
Well, we'd certainly love to have both, but we saw great examples around the country of service opportunities for young people. We met a lot of really great young people who were interested in those Service Corps opportunities. We've got some great models out there that we are just looking for ways that we can leverage what we have and expand and build and expand those. And it was really inspiring for all of us to meet young people around the country who talked about how their experience in the outdoors really has changed their lives. Kids in Los Angeles who had never seen the ocean before getting a chance to work in some of our great open spaces. So we're excited about the opportunities that are available now and expanding those opportunities through the 21st Century Conservation Service Corps to give people more opportunities to perform service.
Great. Let's go to a YouTube question.
My name is Misha, and I work with the Teen Environmental Education Mentorship at the Headlands Institute. campus of NatureBridge, where I've seen how important it is for kids to learn about nature. But such programs are often inaccessible to the inner-city low-income youth who need them most. I'm wondering if there is a way to collaborate with the Department of Education to require more environmental education experiences, both lessons and trips, in all classrooms through revised content standards. They don't have to be trips to exotic locales. Just getting out to the local park to study ecology is a big and low-cost step forward, but it might help establish an important connection with the earth we live on.
Well, wonderful suggestions, and I think yes is the short answer to a long question. What we heard when we went out was that education for our young people, of course, is their first sort of structured interaction with nature. We saw young people kayaking on urban rivers. We saw cleanups, stream cleanups, and we used it. And I also loved using great outdoors experiences to learn science and math. You know, we saw young people who were not just cleaning up a stream, but learning about water chemistry. They were measuring everything from pH to temperature to bacteria counts in their local stream. All that becomes part of their science experience, but also embeds in them a stewardship of the environment. So yes, EPA has an environmental education program. We've done a wonderful job, I think, in this country of providing resources to teachers who want to incorporate the outdoors into their curriculum. I think what's missing is making sure we work through local groups, pair them up with schools so that we can get young people out, as you say, so well, not necessarily somewhere far away that takes a lot of money that people can't afford, but to their nearby opportunities. There is something to learn in every single park, no matter how small.
Great. Let's go back to Facebook and take another question from Facebook. This one is from Victoria Heron. She's asking how EPA can use its role in improving water quality to provide more public access to waterfronts.
Victoria, do you work for EPA? Very nice question. You know what? It's a wonderful question because some people say, well, why are you here? A lot of times EPA gets involved after damage is done to our great outdoors. We're talking about a contaminated area, what we might call a brownfield. Or you ask yourself sometimes with the state that some urban waterways are in, whether or not we can get people out there if we don't do a bit of work. And all that is part of the America's Great Outdoors Initiative. It's pretty expansive. So the idea is that oftentimes if you have a contaminated piece of property and you're spending public dollars, tax dollars to clean it up, perhaps its highest and best use after it's cleaned up is a place for people to recreate, especially in a city where that land can be very, very expensive if you had to go out and try to buy it and knock down a building. That's a tremendous opportunity. The other opportunity is around our waterways. We have great waterways in all of our cities, and even our smaller cities are oftentimes developed around water because it was a mode of transportation. What we'd like to do is work with cities, and we'll start small, but we'll grow to basically come up with plans that make the most of their waterfront. Instead of it being a place that an eyesore that needs cleaning up, developing and redeveloping with the waterfront as a centerpiece has been done in so many wonderful cities already across our country, I think is a real economic opportunity. People love to live and recreate on the water.
Great. Let's try to take another question from Facebook. Let's go to YouTube.
Hi, my name is James King from Atlanta, Georgia, and when I think of the great outdoors, I think of local urban forestry, state parks, and national parks. To say that, how we plan on using the ecological restoration projects to enhance and assist the advancement of rehabilitation, family and social problems, even new intriguing educational curriculums?
Well, thanks. It is true that there are places around the country that people really connect to, they really care about, and they want to see restored and protected. And one of the things that we looked at as we put this program together was the need to really think about our landscapes, about all the things that make up our landscapes and how we connect them together, how we restore the ecological values. And in that, we can create jobs, we can bring people together, and we saw this in community after community. We went to some very rural areas where people who didn't necessarily agree on much agreed on the need to preserve a place that they cared about. So we saw in action how communities could really come together around a place. And that gives us a great entry into thinking about how we bring all the tools that we need, the tools that the federal government can provide, tools that our communities can provide, and tools that people can provide to help to restore those places and to get both the ecological values and the community values out of those places.
Yeah, and you know, James, I think the only thing I'd like to add is another really cool part of this initiative is that it doesn't think that the government should do it all. In fact, one of the best stories, the president, of course, the president tells the best stories, but when he rolled out this initiative, he talked about he and the First Lady walking on a trail that had been preserved and bettered by private action. Someone who came along and fell in love with a trail in Asheville, North Carolina, and said, we're going to work with local churches. It was during the time of segregation. People came together and saved and then invested in a trail that now the President and First Lady can walk on with their family. And of course, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people can enjoy. So part of this initiative is not just about what the government can do, but how we can support local action. Because in this time of tough budgets, as much as we would all like to be able to fund every project that we love, this is also about leveraging resources to enable communities to get out there and better their local environments.
Great. Let's go back to an email question. This one is from Christy Wilkane from the University of Buffalo in New York. All schools should have a program to give kids the opportunity to explore, understand, and love the natural world around them. Are there any, or could there be any, programs in the works to get this type of an idea off the ground?
There certainly are those kind of programs mm-hmm. already. A lot of schools pair up with local communities. There's lots and lots of work within school systems already. And Christy, I got one for you. If you think that Buffalo needs a program like that, we would be happy to help you at EPA. Our local office is in New York City, but we have an office, a small office in Buffalo, to help make those connections. Because it just takes somebody deciding to do it. There are so many young people who just need to be paired up to work with a school. You can work with a school or a youth group. I think we could certainly help you.
The next question is from Facebook. It's from Mike Zhao, and he's asking how you will measure the successes of the Great Outdoors Initiative.
Well, I think it's I think we'll measure it the way that we put this whole program together is by talking to the American people about seeing the examples of things that get better because all of us as federal agencies are working together better, but as Lisa said, most importantly that Americans are working together to preserve the places that they love. So we're enthusiastic about going forward and engaging with the American people about America's Great Outdoors and finding those examples, highlighting those examples, and helping to support those examples in communities across the country. That will connect people back to the places that they love. So next time we go out, instead of three canoes full of kids when we were in on the Mississippi River in St. Paul, we'll see 10 canoes full of kids or 100 canoes full of kids exploring the great outdoors in their own backyard.
And I think for our part at EPA, we expect to see, you know, the president's called for full funding of the Land and Water Conservation Fund in this budget. That's going to make a difference. There are programs all over that are identifying high-quality lands that need to be preserved or invested in, and having those resources will make a difference in acres of land, in new parks, in new amenities and opportunities in existing public and private land. So that'll be a change. And I know at EPA, we're looking forward to identifying a couple of areas where we can really pilot this idea of connecting communities back to their waterways and bringing resources we already have. It's not new money, but, you know, our money under Superfund to clean up sites, our brownfields money to clean up smaller abandoned sites, our partnership with the Department of Housing and Urban Development and the Department of Transportation that's designed to make bike paths and trails and opportunities for people to live near ecosystems like waterways, I think you'll start to see us make a dent in communities, one community at a time.
Great. Let's go to one more question from YouTube.
Hi, my name is Katia Rossi, and I'm from Vancouver, Washington. I'm a member of the Natural Leaders Network, which is a collaboration of young people across the nation that are really trying to connect children to nature and other young people to nature. My question is, with this issue, how do high school students or young people stay connected and look for opportunities in their community on, you know, on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, just to keep connected? Even further for young adults who are actively involved, how would they continue to move themselves into careers, you know, that keep them involved with this issue and the great outdoors? Thank you.
Well, Katia, I think you've taken a wonderful first step. You're part of the Natural Leaders Network, so you're doing what works best, which is finding other people who care about this issue and associating yourself with them, and sounds like being a leader. You look like you're in a very beautiful place there in Washington. That's the way this is going to work. I mean, the federal government can announce major initiatives to help preserve land and help to invest in it. But the way we'd really like to see this work, and I think one of the beauties of this whole initiative is, again, the idea that we have to come up with a 21st century model, one that works within the context of existing budgets to leverage community support. So find the groups in your neighborhood. I promise they are out there that are already organized around a place that you'd like to get to know, a place that you love. Become active in those. In many cases, it might mean that you get to supply some diversity, some young people, some people of color who haven't before ever done it, and you'll be able to shape the agenda of those organizations. That's how this initiative is going to reach out to Americans. We're going to go through what already exists. We're not looking to create a whole new network, I think.
Well, I think also that, you know, people like you who are interested, engaged, and active in this, sharing in your community the experiences that you're having, the places that you're going, the organizations that you're a part of. And we heard a lot when we were out traveling around the country meeting with young people about, you know, the technology tools, and that, you know, people of our vintage don't necessarily, can't necessarily communicate in the same way that young people communicate with each other. So, you know, for the young people who are leaders now in youth activities related to the outdoors, who are interested in the outdoors, sharing those experiences with other people in your communities is a really great way to help bring that message to everyone.
Great. Let's take one last question from Facebook. This is from Troy Howard. I work for a small 501c3 nature center, and we struggle with getting urban youth involved. How will you help?
Well, you know, I think what we have to do is, I say all the time at EPA, people think of the environment as something that urban populations don't care about. You have to speak to people in the language that they know, and you have to talk to them about the issues that they care about. So we had a young person not long ago say, well, you know, if all the environment means is that I care about the polar bears, I'm not into that. So you know best what for young people is really important to them. And young people are the same everywhere. They want to be outside. They want to have fun. They want to understand the recreational opportunities that are available to them. So you might not be able to start with bird watching. No offense to any bird watcher out there. You might have to get them out there to run around a little bit to see the advantage of getting out into the park. But then you can work in some opportunities to really teach them about the natural environment, about their local flora and fauna, about their streams. Take them fishing. Take them out so they can really have some fun out there, and then they'll come back again and again. It's usually that very, very first time. And I was talking to somebody not long ago. I grew up in the city. I grew up in New Orleans, and I wasn't a camper, but I do have some very fond memories of driving not more than half an hour away with my dad to go fishing. Young people who go camping, sometimes in their backyard or sometimes not much further than that through scouting or other opportunities. So it's really a matter of first getting the hook, getting them to think about the outdoors as a destination, getting them to turn off the TV, maybe even the computer, long enough so that they can fall in love with it, because they will. It's in kids to want to be outdoors.
Great. Well, that's all the time we've got today. I want to thank Administrator Jackson and Chair Sutley for joining us, and thank all of you for participating in today's live chat, and remind you that if you want more information on America's Great Outdoors, you can visit americasgreatoutdoors.gov or join us on Facebook. Thank you.